Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Fake crowd noise. The Emirates never sounded so good. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
What's up?
Nothing at all is up, seeing as I'm sitting watching Everton winning 1-0. It's looking good again for the Toffees. It's a big thing for them. If they could, they would go level, I think, with Liverpool tonight. Mm-hmm. It's just that feeling. I was talking to some friends, some Chelsea fans' friends, and they were saying that the importance of, you know, top four in comparison to, you know, being above Spurs and Arsenal. Now I was thinking with Everton, what's really more important to Everton fans? Top four are actually getting above Liverpool. And I think it may be the latter.
They could not be that petty.
It's not petty, it just means so much. I mean, it's. I know everyone, when they get your, you get your sensible head on, yeah, they'll say they want top four. But in actual fact, the joy for Evertonians, if they could manage for the first time in 10 years to actually finish above Liverpool, that would be incredible. Considering, you know, the torture it's been for Evertonians in the past year or two, because Liverpool have been so brilliant. So it's big moments for them. And they're playing well just now. They are good to watch. I'm looking forward to seeing them next week. They're playing Chelsea next week, so that should be a cracker. Oh. And as we speak just now, I think Sigurdsson's just about to take a free kick, so that's danger again.
Who do you support when it's Everton-Chelsea, be honest?
I'll be absolutely honest, Chelsea's my team. But if Chelsea are in a position where they don't really need the points and Everton need them, I'd want Everton to win.
Okay.
So it's one of those ones. It's kind of dependent, really. But it's just don't like the game very much. Just hate going to the game because I don't like seeing either of those teams getting beat because I like them so much. So that's exactly how I feel about it. And then people say, oh, you're sitting on the fence. No, you know, Chelsea's my team, but I hate watching any of them get beat. Mm.
It's quite nice you still have affection for the teams you played for. I would think there are plenty of players who maybe were badly treated when the end came or have some issues with the club and almost can't stomach them. It's nice that you have genuine affection for those clubs still.
I was writing about this the other day, about a club that I left, and the fans gave me horrifying abuse, absolutely battered me, and I played against them 2 days later. I'd left Kilmarnock to go to Motherwell, and Kelly fans gave me dogs abuse, and I still loved them. I thought they were brilliant, and they didn't know why I left. And it was probably about 10 years later that I finally told them, and they all went, oh, sorry. But, you know, you remember the good things as much as you possibly can. And I do feel sorry for a lot of players. I understand why they do not like the clubs, because they became the real player that was getting dug out more than anyone else. I was kind of just fortunate. I never had that in my career.
So to quote the most overused stat of the last 24 hours, sorry, it's the nature of news cycles. This already feels somehow quite old. But Manchester United against the Big Six, since they lost 6-1 to Spurs, we are on quite the run now. So nil-all against Chelsea at Old Trafford. Then they lost at Old Trafford to Arsenal 1-0. Then against Manchester City at Old Trafford, nil-all. Then Liverpool away, nil-all. Then Arsenal away, nil-all. And now Chelsea away, nil-all. I mean, I'm sure they haven't all been terrible games, but God damn it, Pat. My patience is wearing thin here. This is miserable. Come on.
No, I would agree with you. There doesn't seem an absolute belief within the entire group that they feel as if they can walk out and take these teams on, like great United teams of the past. They walk in and they stand shoulder to shoulder. In fact, they feel bigger. You know, when you go back to Roy Keane's and players like that, they didn't ever go out and thinking, I don't think we can live with this lot. They went out thinking, we're better than them because we are Manchester United. To be fair, watching a number of those games, and particularly the win at the weekend there, that didn't look like a group of players that felt anything other than, we'll be delighted with the point here. I mean, I really felt that Chelsea were the team that wanted the 3 points more than them. But it was more than that. It was a It was a period in the first half, I thought United, they were really fast, really, the pace and the tempo of it was really, really good. And I thought, well, hey, that's good, because this is going to make for some game if you keep on doing that. But they just dropped, and they dropped, and they dropped, and you just thought, you kind of expected more. There doesn't seem to have been an explosion. Now, maybe that Cavani might have made a bit of a difference, but there didn't seem to be a group feeling that we're that good yet. Even though league position's great, I agree that, you know, they can't argue too much with that. And he has improved them. But there is something in it. It's, there are odd statistics that come up sometimes. I don't think that's an odd statistic. I do think that's a wee psychological or a big psychological problem they've got. They need to overcome that if they're going to be contenders again.
If football teams in the main, and let's talk about United here for instance, know that playing at a high tempo is good, why do they stop playing at a high tempo?
Well, some people can't, game after game. I mean, just look at the games at the moment. I mean, the games at the moment, I'm watching, you know, games at the weekend, I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm going to Manchester United at Crystal Palace on Wednesday. And I'm going to Liverpool on Thursday. I'm thinking, you all been knackered. I was travelling there. I'm finding it tiring. It's a long drive, it has to be said. Before anyone shouts about COVID, yeah, if you do broadcasting, that's what you have to do, apparently. We are safe and secure the way we're doing it.
It does feel a bit like the Christmas schedule, though, at the moment. You don't have to look more than 2 or 3 days away, and there's another game for every team, basically.
And they're not easy games. And so the other thing about some of the players, A, doesn't help if you're older. You know, so it's hard to keep on going at that rate to that level. B, you know, if you've got any niggly injuries at all, they will slow you down and not enable you to do that. The worst one, and then this is the worst one, there's no point in nine players playing at high tempo. There's no point. Doesn't work. You player playing it that specific way. It was intriguing. I'm trying to think who was the other day. It was Arsenal. Watching Arsenal. They were doing it in moments. They were deciding when to do the press, as we call it now. But playing high tempo all the time, there's some teams you just look and you think, well, you're not going to tell me, I like Anthony Martial, but you're not going to tell me he's going to be a high tempo player all the time. You're not going to tell me Paul Pogba's going to be a high tempo player all the time. Somebody can be, but some of them just won't want to and won't be able to as well, and for a variety of reasons. So for some teams and for some coaches, it's exactly the right thing. For others, it's a quick route to a defeat, because you need everybody doing it. And by the way, the worst thing, and anyone who's ever played at any level knows this, if the guy, the real cheat, the worst cheat, is the guy who runs in, closed down, and just misses it, and the ball goes by, and he dives in. They're the worst guys. They're the ones that really ought to get dragged off straight away. Because they don't need to chase back.
I was out of the game. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. And I tried really hard, and the fans were like, great effort, and we were all going, "You get the easy thing there," and that's the thing that there's not the top managers don't. I remember, I think it may have been Mourinho, Juan Mata, who I adore with passion, kind of did it once. He looked at him about a minute later, and I'm thinking, I know exactly why you done that there, mate. So. The buy-in needs to be from absolutely everyone, the entire group, and it has to be every week.
Because I do feel like certain players could impose a tempo on their teammates. I do feel Roy Keane on his very best days could, and actually Jordan Henderson at Liverpool, when he's out and comes back into midfield, I mean pre-whatever madness is going on of late, but just when they were ticking along, I felt one of the things he really did was inject tempo, even just with his passing, one touch whenever possible, and a real fizz on the ball, and almost... gave the player he'd passed it to no choice but to give, you know, inject a bit of tempo himself. You know, some players can do that with their own passing.
Yeah, but it's not just the passing. It's passing and the movement and the shout as well. Yeah. It's all three. So you pass, you move to another position, make an angle, all that sort of stuff, right? But also you shout and ball. And there won't have been many better than him. Do you remember? And it's a tone. It's not always the right shout. And you know that Keane would do it, but you play with certain players and it was just a tone. It didn't even need to be, it was just a menace. And Souness used to do it all the time.
Right.
Just a menace about them that you think, yeah, I don't think I'll disagree with that. I think I'll just go and do that, even though if I'm not necessarily sure if I should be closing down there. I think I probably ought to. So you do need those personalities. Absolutely right. That's part of it as well. Yeah. But it's the whole thing together. And also, you know, that those guys, you mentioned Keane, but there's quite a few of them. They're not always big names, but that are the managers, you know, gaffer on the pitch. And it's not because he's a dead good player. And it's not just because he shouts. It's because he spots those little moments when they're not doing it that's causing the team a problem. And he fixes it there and then. And it's hard to explain that lots of players might be capable of doing it, but only few are capable and do that and have the strength of personality to pull it off. It sounds as if everyone should do it, doesn't it? But it's just life isn't like that because not everyone's that type of personality.
So Stuart Atwell, I mean, I know we don't like talking referee decisions. Generally, it can be quite boring, but we've nothing else to talk about. Well, okay, I'm sure we do, but let's talk Stuart Atwell. Just in case people haven't seen what's happened here, a lot of people will have seen Luke Shaw's interview post-match where he said that, you know, he was overhearing a conversation with Atwell and with Harry Maguire, and what he said was, I don't know why they stopped it if it's not going to be a pen. He's talking about VAR there. I don't know why they stopped it if it's not going to be a pen. The ref told H, Harry Maguire, if I say it's a pen, there's going to be a lot of talk about it after. So Luke Shaw felt that the ref had turned to Harry Maguire and said, if I give a penalty there, there is going to be a lot of talk about this afterwards. And Solskjaer came on Sky as well. And Solskjaer was saying, well, look, that penalty, look, I can't say what happened there, but it's not going to be good for him. And Jeff Shreves was like, oh, it's okay. Luke Shaw's already told us what's happened. And then Solskjaer said, okay, well, look, it's not good for him. So you've seen all you need to see. And by the way, the Chelsea website and all, you know, he said, very cheeky putting it on their website about Harry. They're influencing referees. So slight climb down today. Manchester United have put forward the clarification from Harry Maguire that Luke Shaw, in fact, misheard, that the referee did not, in fact, say that to Harry Maguire, and Shaw misheard, and Maguire has put this message out through Manchester United. So that's what's been happening. That's what's been happening.
But the madness of it is I cannot see how it's not a penalty. I just can't see it. I just cannot see it. And this, again, is why we brought VAR, so you can go and clear that sort of thing up. And of course, it is now. If you think you understand the penalty kicks rule just now, then you're at fault because you don't. Nobody does. Not the referees. Nobody does. The way they've gone back now, it's almost a full circle, which is confusing people, right? Because now the referee can go over, look at it, and see the handball, see it's a natural angle, all that sort of stuff, right? But can still say, no, I don't think that should be a penalty. That's subjective. That's back to where we were 3 years ago, isn't it? This is what so many people wanted. Can we not go back to the referee? Just that's where we're back to now. So why bother looking at the VAR, mate? Because it's a penalty with the modern rules. I can't see any argument against it at all.
Yeah.
So that was painful to see. What they've said, that if he did say, and of course they've said he's misheard now, but if you're spending your time as a referee worrying what the press are going to say, the game, the ball's up the dike, we're finished. Because you're not there to do that. You're not there to be a PR man. You're there to referee a game of football. And everything else is secondary. You just do your job and get on with it as best of your ability. How it plays in the press or in the media or with fans is neither here nor there. So if they have said that, which they said they haven't, it's horrendous. Because that's almost a finish to it. You almost can't referee after that because people will just start saying, or is that a decision that you think, or is that to think?
Yes.
What do you think people are talking about? It's the reason why I had to retract it is because you can't actually go on when you've said something like
no,
that.
It's tantamount for career ending if the referee had said that. It's just so bad. I mean, the thing is, we've gone through all the growing pains of the earlier part of the season where these ridiculous handballs were happening, and then the players were starting to get used to it, as evidenced by the fact that when Hudson-Odoi was standing over Atwell's shoulder looking at the replay on VAR and he saw what we all saw, which was his hand touched the ball, his body language, it wasn't even subtly turned away as if to say, oh no, damn. So Hudson-Odoi, through his body language, said, I don't like the modern rules like the rest of you, but under the rule, that is a penalty. He could not believe his luck he got away with this.
He could have put a banner up saying it's a fair cop, and it wouldn't have made it more obvious. But you're absolutely right. And there's not many. Thomas Tuchel said something afterwards, but he obviously hadn't watched it. Because they kind of stitched him up a wee bit there. Let him watch it first, then he wouldn't have said
that. He said as well, maybe I should look at it again in the midst of saying it definitely wasn't a penalty.
Yeah, I know. Because first look, it doesn't look like it. Looks actually as if his opponent has thrown his arm up. So it's kind of a madness there. And that's a wee bit of a shame, that because he can be made to look stupid in the media after that. But in actual fact, with better, you know, visions of it, you would look at it completely utterly differently. But it's a real sadness of it because, you know, it's the big talking point of the game. Actually, it's not a sadness. It probably wasn't the only talking point. It wasn't a good game of football anyway. But it's horrifying that if the referees are now having to think that way. And to take it on one step further, one of the players said afterwards, why don't they come out and speak about it in the press and then we'd understand? And that's what I always used to say. Mm. And I'm thinking now, oh my God, that would be hell. to watch them squirm in a moment like that. Because you can't just go and say it. Because the idea originally, about 25 years ago, was if there's a contentious decision, the referee comes out in the press conference and reads a statement of what he was doing and then walks out again.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the press guys putting up with that for like any more than a week?
Mm.
No chance, no hope. And then that statement would be picked apart.
Yes.
Like any politician's statement would be. So although that sounds like a lovely answer to it, it's like everything else. It's like everything that we ever change in the game. You always must think of what the consequences are of it. And the consequences of the referees going and standing in front of a press conference after that, trust me, they are unthinkable. Mm. They are horrifying.
Where are we now with handball then? So again, you're trying to think in terms of this season. There was the new rule and every handball was being punished and there was acrimony and there was heat and people were giving out about it. And then as time went on,
there was a sleeve.
Sleeve, everything. But then there was a sense of, okay, look, this is just the rule. They're obviously sticking to it because the refs, at the start, they rolled up their sleeves and they said, we're giving these penalties even if people aren't happy. And then there was a period where we were saying things like, well, okay, the players are going to learn. You know, we might not like the new rule, but the players will get used to it. So now on the evidence of yesterday, there's interpretation back in there. When did that happen? I missed that memo. Like, what's going on now?
Well, they never told us, number one, if there was a referees meeting. They do send out missives to the referees. I mean, that's always happened. It generally happens at the start of the season. And it used to be the same one every year. It used to be, this year we're going to get a hold of fouling at corner kicks and we're going to give penalties. They say it every year and everyone went, very good. And just moved on and ignored them, right? But every year one of two things would be pushed. And it would last for about 4 weeks.
Mm.
And then it would just disappear again. Problem with this one is, they are putting these little missives out to the referees and it'll be emails sent around or whatever. But they're happening too often now. And, you didn't get the memo. I didn't get the memo. Some of the referees get the memo. Some of the referees get a memo and ignoring the memo.
Mm.
Other ones are taking it on board. Some of the VAR ones are not agreeing with the guy who's on the pitch who disagrees with that memo. It's all over the place. That is a shambles. The only time you ever change anything mid-season if something massively, obviously, disgracefully wrong has come up and you can change it. But this is it's been such a pig's ear of it. And I can't see at the moment. I used to always think, I'd love to be one of the guys that was on that committee that was making decisions and I'd teach them some sense. I look at it now and I think, I have no idea where you go. I really don't know where you go yet.
Mm.
Because the minute you say, oh, let's go back to your hammer, your battered. You're never allowed to say we're going back to that because that means that you owned up to a mistake going there in the first place. So it's a horrendous thing they're going to have to go and visit. And they're going to have to visit again.
Yeah.
Because it is a mess now. It's just such a joke of a mess.
When even Callum Hudson-Odoi thinks he's broken the rule and then it turns out he hasn't. I mean, it's proof that none of us know what's going on.
What's good news for one person?
Yeah.
And that was, of course, the goal. Who was it, the referee, that one where he blew up for the free kick for the weekend?
The Lewis Dunk going ballistic. Lee Mason, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who, by the way, Nuno Espirito Santo did say in December, and he was fined for saying it, that Lee Mason's not good enough to referee in the Premier League. So he was fined 25 grand for saying that, by the way. So Dunk said of this, it's embarrassing, it's a horrendous decision. I asked him, could he take it? And he blew his whistle. I took it. Because if you watch it back, he blows whistle as Dunk has kicked the ball and it's going into the net, as if to say, oh, I regret letting you take that.
Right. So, yes, it's exactly what happens. The thing that's interesting about it, in the midst of it all, right, so he's made a mistake, right? And so what is his mistake? His mistake is he blew the whistle the second time. That's the mistake he made.
Yeah.
And that's the only mistake he made, actually. Because even though he changed his mind twice, everything else he'd done was right. So he made one mistake. He blew his whistle again. Yeah,
he panicked.
He panicked a wee bit.
Yeah.
Had he not blown his whistle again, everything would have been fine.
Yeah.
He would let the goal stand. He had to let the goal stand. It had been taken. He'd have checked it all up. But because he'd blown his whistle again and the ball was still in play, he's no choice anymore.
I do want to ask you just general impressions of the game and should either side have won or did you take anything else from it? But I'm just going to go to Goodison and check in with Shane Pennington.
It's Everton 1, Southampton 0, but already in the second half, Everton have missed a glorious chance to double the advantage in this game, and that came from Ben Godfrey. It was a corner from the right-hand side, it wasn't cleared, and the Everton defender got a snapshot in from 12 yards out, but it was headed off the line well by Vestergaard. At the other end, Southampton have just seen their best chance of the game, really, coming from a corner from this right-hand side, and there was Salisu with a header from 6 yards out, but he couldn't get it on target. It's Everton 1, Southampton 0.
So yes, Pat Nevin, final word on Stamford Bridge. Not everyone watches the games, you know. It was a sunny Sunday afternoon. Maybe they had better things to be doing, frankly, and they were proved correct, it turns out. So, nil all, a fair result. Anything jump out at you tactically or about either manager?
Yeah, the tactics, I'm just learning Tuchel now. Okay. Thomas Tuchel now. We know generally all about what Ollie's trying to do, and it's fairly successful. It's not hyper-exciting, it's fairly successful. Tuchel stuff's really interesting now, because he's now heavy metal football. Absolute heavy metal football. The pace of the closing down and was actually brilliant to watch as parts of it. So that technical side of it, okay, the creation wasn't great, but getting the ball back, you know, watching the likes of Mount, we know in goal can't, he's brilliant at it, but even Kovacic and that, the way they got the ball back, it was really reminiscent of, you know, the way that Liverpool at their very best used to do it. You know, remember the old Barcelona team used to get it really high up. There was moments where they were doing that. And it was an extraordinary level. And it makes sense now. I've finally figured out what he's trying to do and the way he's doing it. Because now that you look back at what he'd done to Callum Hudson-Odoi, it's total sense. No, you're not doing that. Come off. And you need to do it all the time. You need to do this high press, heavy press, sharp, and 100 mile an hour, close down, and every player's doing it at the same time. And it's extraordinary to see when you actually see it. They were working so much harder and it never dipped. And it was very reminiscent. I'm not talking the pure skill going forward, which Liverpool had, but Liverpool, when they were doing that sort of pressing, when they were doing their gegenpressing stuff at that level, it's exactly what it looked like in a technical sense, right? So I'm really intrigued now because Liverpool can't do it anymore. They've run out of gas. And understandably, as we've said many times, you know, they ran out of gas a lot. They got an extra 10 laps more than I thought they'd ever get, but they have to some degree. So they're doing a different version of it and pressing when they can at certain times. And the reason being is they've not got enough good players, or not got enough players of that ilk who can give you that energy in this type of season, or in any type of season. But Chelsea have. Chelsea have now got, I mean, the classic one, Chelsea a while back there, they played was it Seville, and they either made 10 or 11 changes, and they looked exactly the same. They didn't look any less at a team. So quality-wise, they've done it. If the players get tired, just bring in another 11. It's a bit like special teams in the NFL. All right, you lot have done that, right? You move out, you lot come back in. Nobody's been able to do that. And Chelsea's actually, they actually might be able, between now and the end of the season, and maybe next season, if they keep all those players on, be able to do that. So it'll be really interesting. I'll be going to the Liverpool-Chelsea game on Thursday, dying to see how that plays out. Because it's what Klopp would like to do being done against them, and they will do it. They will do it exactly the way Klopp will hate it. So will he ask his players to step up to it and do it back? And if you do, you're going to see the most hilarious game of pressing you've ever seen.
Good.
And I just don't know if you're going to see it, because I think Liverpool try something different, because I don't think they've got the energy levels that Chelsea have got just now. I'm not talking about quality of players, nothing got to do with that. Just pure energy levels, and players have allowed to be rested more than them. So that side of it, and it's the first Tuchel versus Klopp one, of the Premiership era, and that could be great over the next couple of years.
I've got to say, I'm such a fan, especially when it's quality teams, but I guess, look, quality teams make all tactics look interesting, but high quality teams pressing the bejesus out of each other is just an encounter I like watching. I mean, that game at Cat and Mouse, either press is broken or the ball is won high up. Either way, something good's happening.
And it is brilliant to watch because, you know, and again, I watched Sheffield United the other night try to do that against Liverpool a couple of times, and they got the ball, but then they can't hold it anywhere near as good as the top players. And that's why they can't do it, because you need to hold it in a certain way. Whereas if they do the big press, then they zip, 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 pass, pass, pass. But you need to be so good to be able to do that. So it's only top quality teams that are able to do it to that level. So that's why the other teams don't try and do that as often as Liverpool used to, or Chelsea are trying to do it just now. Man City clearly do it amazingly well as anyone when they're on that type of form. But you're looking at it now, this is a weird season, but you can get lost in this season a wee bit, and you will do. But see, from next season, when you've got Ancelotti, when you've got Klopp, when you've got Pep, you've got the most of the best managers in the world, and most of them will actually have pretty damn good teams. And most of them will have had a good bit of money to spend. I know that I'm not wishing this season away.
I am.
We might be wishing this year away, but well, there'll be excitement left somewhere.
I'm done with this season. Wrap this season up. I'm ready for the next season.
Next one will be, honestly, next one could be an absolute cracker with the quality of players, but also the quality, the technical quality of those managers. I think that I'm really looking forward to the next one. I'm just hoping that Man City don't run away with it again, because, as I've said before, if they do get Haaland, we're stuffed.
Yeah. Chelsea could do with that guy up top, couldn't they? That's the one major deficit, or no?
Everybody could do
well, it. True, okay.
They've not got... I would say Chelsea's problem's more the creative guy, you know, the guy who can pick a lock, you know, because you have a look at Man City, have got those guys, you know, Salah's going to do that for you. I mean, they've all got, the top teams have all got that. Harry Kane's got that.
Can Mount grow into that, or Ziyech?
He's all right. Ziyech is the one, but he's absolutely nowhere near playing well enough or being fit enough for long enough. Yeah. And Ziyech is the one, 100%, but he's not done it enough in the Premier League yet for a variety of reasons. And it will probably be next season before you find out if he's good enough to do that. But that, I think that's what they need, because they've got enough players that can score goals. They have Abraham who scored goals. And, you know, when you finally... Werner starts, he will score goals if you give him enough chances. But yeah, they need that creation. That's the thing they need.
Okay. Very good. We will talk next Monday. Enjoy the game Thursday.
I'm looking forward to it already.
Good man. Pat Nevin, thank you. With us every Monday evening. Still at Goodison Park, it is Everton 1, Southampton 0 after 74 minutes of play. Real Madrid, by the way, 1-0 down this evening to Real Sociedad. Also 74 minutes played in that game. Football on Off the Ball is with thanks to Paddy Power. For information on responsible gambling, visit gamblingcare.ie.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. Fake crowd noise? The Emirates never sounded so good. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
The OTB Podcast Network.